Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message.
Down the middle, taking a look at the seven letters to the seven churches. And as I've told you all from the very beginning of the outlet, this is not my church. This church belongs to the Lord. So I work for God. And when he tells me that there's something that he wants to get across to his people, then it's my job to listen to be able to deliver that message to you. And so we're going to take a one-week pause in the series of Beyond the Middle, and I'm going to speak on a one-time message that I believe is specific to your life. As a pastor, you have two ways that you develop sermons. The first way is inspiration that comes from revelation in the Word of God, where you're reading something and something hops out at the page. And the Lord's like, that's what I want you to share. That's inspiration by revelation. But then there's another approach that pastors should use when it comes to sharing the Word of God with you, and that is inspiration by observation. And when 100% of every call, 100% of every text, 100% of every email, inbox, calls to our office come in talking about the same issue, how many of you know we need to stop what we're doing, and we need to talk directly to what's going on? Because if it's 100% of the calls, how many people wanted to reach out but just were too overwhelmed to reach out? How many people wanted to reach out but said, I don't want to bother the pastor with that right now, but are still dealing with something? In just a moment, I'll share the title of today's message. I'm going to ask you, open up your heart, because I want to share with you this morning how much God loves you. I know he's been presented in many different ways to you as a fierce God, as a righteous God, as a God who's looking over your life, making sure you do everything right. And when things go wrong, he's blamed for causing things to go wrong because you didn't do everything right. And it creates a level of stress and anxiety. And the root of it is a cynicism that causes us not to want to do anything that resembles what we know is true in the Word because of an offense toward God. But if we could, I want to reintroduce you to a kingdom perspective in how God operates. There's a way in which man operates, but God operates in a way that's so much higher, and his perspective has so much wisdom. And we're going to look here in Ecclesiastes two places, because they really answer a question that we have. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, for everything there is a season. Everybody say everything. Everybody say everything. It's a time for every activity under heaven. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And in the New King James, I actually like that a little better. And I actually put in the New Living Translation, so I'll read the New Living since it's on the screen. It says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time, another word for time there is season, come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? They had a question that we all ask from time to time. God, I've been with you for a while now. We've seen all that you said in your word. You've done all that you are to do. So my question to you, God, is when is it my time? Or what is this season that I'm going through? And so Jesus replied in verse 7. New King James, it actually says to his disciples, it's not for you to know times or season which the Father has put in his own authority. I don't know about y'all, when I read the word, I felt a little frustrated because Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything, there is a season, a time. But then Jesus says, it's not for me to know when. And that's frustrating. Because if you're telling me that there is something, then I want to know when exactly it's going to happen. Is anybody like me in this world? But verse 8 is where we'll spend our time and the theme talking about today. Jesus then said, it's not for you to worry about when exactly is the time and season. But verse 8, he wanted them to focus on, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power but you will receive power. I don't want you to focus on what's going on and make that your preoccupation. I don't want you to get overwhelmed by what you see on the outside of you, but you will receive. And for those who have accepted Christ, you have received power. So he's shifting their perspective from focusing on what's on the outside to now focusing on who is on the inside. He said, you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the end of the earth. Heavenly Father, in our time together today, I completely submit my life, my tongue, my words, my actions to you in the brief moment that we have to share your word together. Father, just by your Spirit, I sense every hurt. I sense every frustration. I sense the animosity, the offense, the questions. But as I sense it, I give it to you. Let your word be laser focused into the life of every hearer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Today I want to talk to you on a message called Changing Seasons. Navigating the highs and the lows of life. Because if you've lived long enough, naturally, at least a year, you will have seen on this earth, and depending on where you live, more defined than others, you will have seen the changing of natural seasons from spring, summer, fall, and winter, each with its individual characteristics that define that season. But if you've also lived long enough, you will have seen that in your life, times have changed. Seasons have changed. And sometimes we can live in a place in our life with questions that exist long after the season has ended, and we're still wondering what happened back here. So I want to talk to you this morning about the changing of seasons. I want to prepare you for when a season is changing. I want to show you signs to let you know that this is how I prepare myself for where I'm going. But when I am there, this is how I handle it. Because every season in the kingdom of God doesn't always feel good. Obeying God doesn't automatically mean winning a golden bucket of money. There are times in your life where you do everything right and you still feel like I've suffered an injustice. And if I don't know where to look, I am going to think that it was God who did that, instead of noticing it's a part of a season of a fallen world that I'm a part of. Growing up every year, especially in my early years, my family, we historically took a winter break vacation. At the time, I lived in Michigan. And so in Michigan, there is a defined winter. It takes up part of spring, too. So anybody above the Mason-Dixon line, you already know that it's cold during the winter. Now, for those of you all from the islands and those of you all from California, I don't want to talk to you right now. But the rest of us who have had to understand what it's like to be so cold that you wish you could get cold just to feel better, we understand the differences of seasons. And so we look forward to every year taking a vacation during winter break to go to Florida or the Bahamas so that we could experience a reprieve from the season that we were in. And when we would go, we would, of course, fly from the airport to Florida. And my mother had a technique of how she would dress us so that we would be able to not waste time in dealing with and fumbling with the right clothes and make sure we maximized our time there. And so what she would do while we were in Michigan is she would layer us. And when she layered us, the very bottom layer was our Florida outfit. But on top of us was the Michigan outfit. And in Michigan, in February, it's typically under freezing at best. But when we were in the airport, my mother at the gate would have us to begin to take off our external Michigan attire and get into our Florida attire, because she understood if we wanted to maximize our time in Florida, that we needed to prepare in Michigan for what we were going to experience when we got off the plane in Florida. But what happened was, because people didn't understand where we were going, when they saw our mother asking us to take off the warm clothes, the Michigan clothes, where I currently am, and leave on where we were going in Florida, they began to question her parenting skills. They began to look at us funny. They began to have snide remarks. They began to snicker because they didn't know where I was going. They didn't understand why I was doing what I was doing. And so the lesson in life is we're not trying to prepare for where we are. We have to be prepared for where we're going. And so there are going to be certain things that worked in this season or a season ago that will not work where you're going. And sometimes people may talk about you. Sometimes people may say things crossways to you, but they don't see what you see on the inside. They haven't been praying for what you've been praying for on the inside. They haven't been asking what you've been asking for. And if you take the time to answer every single critic, every single person that said something crazy to you, you would end up missing what you were called to reach. If my mom took the time to go say, oh, you got something to say? Oh, you got, I see you on that. I see. And she, we would miss where we were going. So we've got to change. We've got to update. If we keep doing the same thing over a period of time, it will admit to a lack of ability to hear from God clearly for what he wants us to do today. Just because it worked last year doesn't mean it's going to work today. Just because it worked when you were searching for your last job doesn't mean it's going to work when you're searching for this job. Just because that type of company worked 5 years ago doesn't mean that type of company is going to work today. And you have to be comfortable with when God says it's time to get free, that he's preparing you for where you're going and not leaving you stuck where you're at. And so with changing seasons, it brings new opportunities. Anybody looking forward to having some new opportunities? The word seasons in the Greek means kairos, or simply opportunity. So when reading the word times, seasons, in the Greek, those mean kairos. And so I want you to open your heart today, because sometimes we look at problems as an inconvenience. But an inconvenience is an opportunity for God to bring to you the answer to the very thing you've been praying for. See, sometimes in our prayer, we ask God to grow me, Lord. Increase my capacity. And we think that it's magically going to happen the next morning when we wake up. We say, Lord, I want to trust you more. God, I want to know you better. And then you're left with the only thing you can do is trust God and know him better. I was asking myself here recently, I'd say within the last 3-4 months, when I say recently this time. But I was telling myself, God, I really realized I need to trust you more. Has anybody ever said that? Like, I'm just going to be honest right now. And I'm kind of trusting. I need to trust you more. You know what he responded to me and said? It's not that you need to trust me more. It's you need to trust you less. You see, there's a tension that we have in our life when it comes to worry. See, worry is the tension between knowing God will and thinking I can do it better. Whenever I'm worried, there's a question in my mind that I quite possibly can do this better than God. Because if we knew that without him we can't do it, we'd rest and say, Lord, you got to take care of it. But if I'm concerned, I'm thinking about what do I need to do to bring this to pass? Can I give you another word for that? Self-righteousness. You think that it's what you do that causes God to bless you. And let's just, can we just talk this morning? When you're successful, when you're the top of your company, when you're the top of your field, when your name is in lights, subconsciously, we think that it was because of our hard work, because of our dedication, because of our intellect. And we subtly say, God, I got this. No, we're good. We're good, bro. We're good. But then we have a reality check. And it shows us how much were we really trusting. I feel like coming on the floor today. Is that all right? We need to have a family meeting. Y'all cool with that? It's family meeting Sunday. I felt that. It's time for a nice group hug. Just love on everybody. All right. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Changing seasons, navigating the highs and lows of life. Ephesians 5. I don't want you to miss your moment. What I mean by that is live in today. I don't want you to live in yesterday. I don't want you to live in a land of what if, or if I would have, or if I could have. I don't want you to miss what God is doing in your life and through your life today. And so Ephesians 5 and 15, it says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but now I want you to live like those who are wise. In the book of Proverbs, it says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. So if I'm taking matters into my own hands, my actions are saying there is no God. Therefore, I'm acting like a fool. A wise person says, without God, I am nothing. Therefore, what do you want me to do? And I just feel led to say this. Sometimes it's for you to calm all the way down and listen. Because our self-righteousness won't feel satisfied until we worked ourselves up into a panic attack. And once we've reached a panic attack and say, I'm going to calm down. I did my work for the Lord. Because we would feel like we were lazy if all we said was, okay, God, you told me to do this. That's all I'm going to do. Can I just be transparent with you all? All right. So last year, I found myself in a state of unemployment. And when you find yourself in a state of unemployment, you have one of two options. Either your company gives you a severance, or you've got to live on savings. So since I didn't have that first option, I found myself having to live on savings. And as a man, any fellas, can y'all fellas say, give me like a Rick Ross, like something. Fellas, Thank y'all. Y'all like, ha, ha, ha. I mean, that Rick Ross, like Wingstop, you know, just something. My goodness, talk to me. Yeah, before the weight loss. Now it's like a ha. But as a man with a wife, I felt like I had to take matters into my own hands. So every morning I would wake up and lean over to my wife and say, babe, would you like me to go work at Chick-fil-A today? I kid you not, pastoring a church and all. I was like, there has to be more that I should be doing. Do you want me? I will work at any supermarket there, like whatever. I don't need a lot. Just I got to feel like I am doing something. So I was looking at our savings come down, and I was looking at there's more months to live. And I felt helpless when God was saying, rest. That is crazy. But you want to know what I noticed in 2018, y'all? Every month, I made it to a new one. Can I be honest with y'all even more? The reason why we do communion every first Sunday, it is literally me telling God, thank you, because you are so good. Because this time last month, I was wondering if I was going to make it to this month. But since I'm standing in this month, God, thank you for helping me through last month. But because I know that you are a God who changes not, if you helped me through last month, that means you're going to help me through this month. So I'm not saying thank you with doubt. I'm saying thank you with expectation that it's already taken care of. And so I realize every time I set myself to give thanks to God, instead of going from month to month, I then went from day to day. So on Monday morning after the first Sunday, I said, God, thank you for Monday, that I'm in Monday, and that in this day I have everything that I need. Do you realize that you more times than not worry about days that you've not yet seen and are ungrateful for the one you're in? So when God is changing seasons, he is preparing you for where you're going next. He had to take me through what I call a season of darkness. But Psalm 23 and 4 say, yea, though I walk through the darkest of valleys, I know that you are with me. I know that you are near me. Sometimes I can preach that I knew God was near me, but I needed to experience his nearness for myself. I had to see God take something from nothing and make it into something that all I can do every time I think of all the things that God has done, I have to lift my hands and say, you get all the credit. Let no man look at me, let him always look at you. And you've got to understand in your life, he wants people to look at you and not be able to figure out, why is he so good to them? I know that they aren't perfect. I know where they came from, but God is on their side. There is a God with them. There is a God for them. He's opening doors. He's shutting doors you shouldn't be in. He's establishing connections, relationships, and only for you, when you get to the top, for you to say in front of the entire world, it was Christ and in Christ alone. So there has to be a level on the inside of us that I no longer care about what I think. I'm tired of doing things my way. God, I want to trust you. It's an unconventional faith. It's not about 10 steps to the miraculous. It's about the next step being Jesus. And God, in his relationship with you, is unique to you and how you're wired. I was talking with a mother this week who received some of the most devastating news a single mother could receive about her children. And she said, Pastor, if I could just be honest with you, I don't want to pray right now. I don't want to talk to God right now. I'm not trying to hear any scripture right now. And I smiled in the sick way that I do when you all tell me life-threatening issues. And I said, but believe it or not, you've been praying this whole time. You finally been honest with God. And you finally told him how you feel. You finally got real and cut all the malarkey. And you said, God, I just got this news. I raised my children in church. Never in a million years would I ever thought they would break this news to me in front of their friends. And I'm tempted to choke them out right here in front of their friends, but I'm not. But I need you to help me with the next step because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to feel. I don't know how to act. I don't even know what to think. But I know that I need you to help me. I said, did you say that? She said, well, yeah. I said, that's praying. It's time for us to get real in the middle of your season, in the middle of where you at. It's time for you to be honest. It's time for you to talk. That's what a wise person does when a person of wisdom is around. Here's a quick side nugget. Praise the Lord. Here's a quick side nugget. If someone who is smarter than you is in the room with you, you need to be quiet. It's foolish to try to prove how much you know when somebody knows more than you. And God is always with you. It's time for some of us to get quiet. You get in that prayer time and just, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to first start off by talking about the first 50 states of the United States, all the way from Maine to Washington, from sea to shining sea. Hush. Hush. Let them talk to you. Have a journal. Have your phone. Have your notepad out. Let them talk to you. Let them speak to your heart. I need y'all to slow down. Because you've got to curb your Messiah complex. If you could save everybody, the Lord would have chose your body to be nailed to a cross. But he didn't. Because he realized you needed saving. And what is it for you to save your whole world but lose your soul? And that's where burnout happens. So now we're burnt out because we have what's called compassion fatigue. You've been caring for everybody else. You've been looking after everybody else. You've been thinking about everybody else. You've been sacrificing for everybody else. And then when it came time for me, who was there? The same person who's always been there. You know, airlines got it right when they go through the safety drills. And I don't think the airline creators, I'm not sure, but I don't think that they went to Bible school in order to write the training manual before you take off for a flight. But I noticed that whenever I go on an airline, it says that in the event of a change in pressure, in the event in the change of stress, what I need you to do is first secure your children, right? Also, now y'all know what to do. Okay, thank you. Great. Good job. Good job. Need to secure what? Yourself. And so when seasons shifted and seasons changed, you went to go securing everybody else, but didn't secure yourself. And if you could just have airline wisdom and put the mask over your own nose, to breathe in the breath of God and to breathe out the breath of God, then you will be able to ride through any turbulence and soar over every problem that comes your way. So what am I asking for us? God puts on your heart that seasons are about to change. But you in your heart say, God, I'm only willing to change this much. Sharing with you all some personal conversations my wife and I have had over the last 12 months. We counted up every cost to obey God. Every cost. Never forget, we looked at each other because we asked, how much How much does it cost to start a church? Or in essence, how much does it cost to do what God called you to do? And at the same time, I'll never forget this, and these are just the private conversations we had over the last 12 months. We looked at each other and said, everything. Everything. This is how you know you're in faith, is when all that you've garnered and all that you've gained, are you willing to say, Lord, I lay it at your feet, and whatever you desire to do, it's yours. Everything. I'm not talking about material things either. I'm talking about your need for approval. Your need to be liked. For obeying God, I've never been hated so much. Can you lay that down to just do what God said? When the Lord speaks to you and tells you what steps you're to take and what the boundaries of your limitations are, can you stick to the strength of your convictions? That's how you're in faith. But whenever you're willing to compromise conviction, you've admitted through your action that I'm beginning to depend on myself. Because depending on yourself will never measure up to the beauty of depending on God. He will not cause you to sin to stay afloat. He will not have you be a person who lacks character and lacks integrity to do the right thing. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I want to show you something. In Psalm 1, verse 1, in the New Living Translation, it says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. How do I know it's wicked advice? It's too easy. It's wicked advice because it goes against your peace. There's joy when you push past easy. There's a beauty in doing what only God has said. Loving those who have despitefully used you and who've cursed you, that's not easy. Revenge is easy. Taking matters into your own hands, that's easy. Doing things based off, this is my principle, this is my street cred, this is my street code, this is how we operate, that's easy. But what if the Lord says, I want you to release them? What if the Lord says, I don't want you to hold any animosity against them? Because the proof of your faith is displayed in your love. But did you hear what they said? It doesn't matter because of what God has said to me. Did you see what they did? It doesn't matter because of what God said to me. If you had a choice between quality and quantity, you would go for quality. The quality of your life is affected by the depth of your love. And if you are unwilling to walk in love and forgiveness, anyone who's ever done you wrong, because sometimes you're thrusted into seasons not of your own doing, but in that season, you're going to find out what you're made of. But when you don't take the advice of the wicked, you'll find joy. You don't stand around with sinners. So I need to, when you're in the fight of your life, look at who you're hanging around. Oh, I just want to share this wisdom with you. Sometimes when you're the most vulnerable and when you're hurting, yes, at times it attracts those who are called to help you. But at other times, it attracts vultures, because you have to understand that if a deer was hit and struck in the middle of the road and it was exposed, yes, there may be some people who struck the deer to pull over on the side of the road and figure out, oh, no, let me help Bambi, I'm about to die. But then there are going to be vultures who smell blood. And you need to have discernment on who should I let in and who don't I need to talk to. A great piece of advice is that if people are spewing their trash on you when you're going through the fight of your life, that's not the place that you need to be. Because two people having a trash fest is called a dumpster fire, and nobody likes to be around that type of smell. And when you leave that conversation, if you find yourself more angry than when you got into it, then that means for this season, I need to make sure that we're not in close proximity. For this season. It's not forever, but for my health. Because then when you leave and you're lower than you were before you got on the call, not only do you have to get enough strength to move forward, but you have to make up the strength you lost from the toxic exchange. Be mindful of your environment. So I highly encourage, you need life groups. I couldn't have made it last year without my life group. I was able to talk to them and be honest with them about how I was feeling, about my fears, my concerns. I was comforted to know that I wasn't the only one going through what I was going through. How many of you all know sometimes we feel like what's going on to us, we're the only one it's happening to. No one will ever understand. No one will ever get it. My pain is bigger than all the world's pain combined, until you sit and talk to somebody else. And they say, I identify with how you feel. I know the thoughts, but this is how I made it. And when someone that you're in close proximity can give you hope on this is how I made it, it gives you hope that I'm going to make it too. It says, they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating in it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in every season. Everybody say every season. Now, naturally, there are certain seasons that have fruit in the natural, on earth, and certain seasons that don't. But that's why natural isn't kingdom. Your citizenship, where you associate to, is kingdom, not natural. But we try to bring down our kingdom citizenship for natural citizenship. But that's not how we operate. We're just sent here, but we ET phone home when we need stuff. And it said, in the kingdom, in every season you find yourself in. That's why Christ was saying, don't get concerned about when is my time. What season is this? He said, focus on the power that produces fruit in no matter what season you go through. In every season, you'll produce fruit. Here's the question. What fruit is it? I was talking with my wife because I wanted to know, like, what have we been taught in church all these years? When you think fruit, be honest with me. What do you think about? Nobody wants to be honest with me. Fruit, apples, mangoes. I mean, producing a spiritual watermelon, glory to God. Come on, somebody tell me, when you think fruit, money. Oh, now y'all like, yes, 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 it's money. Thank you for saying it for me. Money. What else? When you think fruit, we think what? Help. So you produce help in every season. A tree is known by its fruit. You can tell what a tree is based off the fruit it is. When I was in church, I still am in church. This is the church. It is, I promise. But growing up, listening in church, I was always taught fruit. That house, that car, that job, that promotion. And you will know that God is on your side because the fruit you produce. But But something happened between the 80s and today where people started going home, taking home these three steps to prosperity, and it didn't work when they got home. They said, how is it supposed to work right now? The Lord said, because when you're not looking for something, you'll never find it. So if I don't know what fruit to look for, I'll never find it. I'll be frustrated thinking that prayer doesn't work. So I bet y'all want to know what the fruit is. Let's go to Galatians 5, verse 22. And before I read Galatians 5, 22 and 23, as seasons change, we may be tempted to look for progress around us or on the outside of us, when as seasons change, God is desiring to work in us. So how do we produce fruit in every season? Galatians 5. 22. The Bible will always interpret itself. Galatians 5, 22, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. So I want us today to change our perspective. In whatever season you're going through, I know you're concerned about what am I supposed to do next. I get that. That's natural. But I want you also to look even deeper at God. What are you doing and developing within me today? How is my love? How is my joy? Is my joy based on what I have? Is my joy based on my status? Is my peace based on what others have said and others have done? And realize in every season this natural earth takes you through, God is looking to bring out even more of his fruit of the Spirit within you. Let's stand.